For September 27th, 2013, we talk about Grand Theft Auto V, among some other things. Welcome to an incredibly short 36th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
My name is David Meismith.
My name is Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It is a podcast for people who love video games. And this week we have a shorter episode than normal for you. I personally am losing my goddamn mind getting ready for our Portland trip, getting a Kickstarter backer rewards all packed up and ready to be mailed out and dealing with stuff at work and all that good stuff. And I need to go to sleep real soon or else bad things are going to happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut the brief and just do the grind. So no multiplayer this week. So sorry, guys. But let's talk about things that we're playing. Really, I would have felt heartbroken.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's that?
The brief wasn't brief enough.
Well, you know, it's a game of margins, you see. Mm-hmm. So before we go on, can I ask, has anybody done anything cool over the past week?
Outside of video games?
Yeah.
Does cool things exist outside of video games?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I just want to...
There was a cool thing that you were a part of, which was Oktoberfest in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. And for anyone who follows football, there was also a pretty kick-ass Bengals game,
mm-hmm.
Which was cool. So yeah, those were cool things over the weekend.
Apparently they came back. So
yeah.
Yeah.
They came out front, and then they came back, and then they came front, and then they came back, and it just... But
did they cover the spread?
I have no idea.
Was there interceptions?
There were a lot of interceptions, lots and lots of them.
You see, the joke is that even though I am a person who does not understand sports, I am saying things to make people think that I do.
You got the lingo down.
Is everybody up to speed?
Yeah.
No. Okay, cool.
Let's just run with it, and I was going to see how long you would keep on going.
Yeah.
This might be the rest that your brain needs.
Yes.
This is how Cole finally breaks. he's all sports talk all the time.
He shifts into a parallel personality. This is how normal people like something happened. Like he heard this sound from distant, like from a long way off, and they got this kind of glassy eyed stare. And he said, "Hold on, guys, we'll be back for a second." He just got up. He started walking. He went outside. Like he didn't even go to his car. He just went. Nobody's seen him since.
Muttering something about, you know, sleepers and all that stuff.
Yeah, so talking about the bullpen. Weird. I don't know. You guys want to talk about games? I mean, video games, not sports games, but video games?
Yes.
Away we go. Oh, it is time to talk about games that we've been playing in a section that we call The Grind. This is really the reason that I called us in session here today, because next week I'm not going to be here for because of the Portland, and I don't know that Ben could go that long without talking about Grand Theft Auto V on a podcast.
Come on,
it would be three weeks that it would take.
Yeah, man. I mean, I enjoy the game. I don't evangelize it. You know.
Ben, we give you permission to be as like rampant fanboy as you want. You have the floor, Mr. Merkel.
It's a really good game. You should play it.
I
don't know. I mean, I just said that I wasn't evangelical about it. I can't embellish all that much.
I would still like to hear about it, though.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is Grand Theft Auto V.
Yeah, which made $1 billion in 3 days, correct?
Something like
I believe.
That, yeah,
I think
800 million in the first day. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it is fast becoming the highest grossing game ever.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will be. Anyway, it's pretty awesome. I will not spoil anything beyond what the trailer for the game has in it, if that is okay.
Okay.
So anybody listening who doesn't want anything beyond the trailer, if they want to be completely dark going into this game, they should just fast forward. But otherwise, yeah. Fair?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, the setup is you switch between three different characters. So at any given time, you can play one of the three characters. They have three distinct personalities to them. So there's at least one character that everybody should relate to. Probably, hopefully, only two of the characters are the ones that people relate to.
Demographically.
Wait, so is this going to become like a Fight Club thing?
Where they're all the same person? That would be hard, because there's like missions where like one person's in a chopper and somebody else is doing something else. And so,
so they work together.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Yeah, so a lot of the missions will center around cooperation. And so like one person might be covering with a sniper rifle, and then someone might be driving the getaway car, and then someone might be, you know, in the heat of it shooting people and doing whatever they need to do. So not only is it fun just to be able to switch between people on the fly in a mission like that, but they basically took one of the best parts of Vice City and made it the entire game. And by that, what I mean is the bank robbery missions in Vice City, where, I mean, that was one of my favorite parts in the game, but where it's like a four mission setup and then a one mission payoff of, you know, robbing the bank.
And
that's the format of the entire game.
Really?
So you just you go from heist to heist, essentially. So it's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
I'm intrigued. I love me a good heist.
Mm-hmm. A caper.
Yeah.
But not the kind, you know, not the food kind.
Yeah, no. I don't much care for those.
Who does? Anyway. So it's nice. Driving mechanics are nice. Shooting mechanics are fine. You know, their path, you know, it's whatever.
I mean, Go ahead.
Does it use, you know, GTA 4 kind of had a more realistic driving mechanic where, you know, if you're not driving a sports car, you can't just, like, drift around curbs at 90 miles per hour. Does it kind of retain that?
Well, yeah. I mean, every game has that aspect, I feel like. You know, like, where trucks are slower and stuff like that. I think one of the differences with the GTA 4 is they changed the driving mechanics, right? So it was much more – there was realistic damage on the cars and
–
I think the difference between GTA 4 and GTA 5 is the handling is a lot better in GTA 5, meaning maybe it's just the fact that you have more access to nicer cars, and maybe maybe that's the only thing that I'm noticing. But it seems like driving is typically more fun.
Yeah. Driving in 4 kind of felt like piloting a boat a little bit. Like, if you were not in those kind of nicest cars, like I found myself more often than not like taking too wide of a turn, even though I felt like I gave myself plenty of berth, just kind of like, oh, hey, sorry, I slammed into your driver's side door, buddy.
Yeah.
See, I really like that about GTA 4 just because it's a lot more realistic.
Yeah. I would say that this one sacrifices some realism for just for fun and ease,
which is
ease of driving.
I mean, obviously, I also liked Saints Row, the third, where I could, you know, mow down Hummers in my souped-up smart car. So,
yeah, I mean,
there is also something to be said for just fun driving. So,
I mean, Grand Theft Auto just as a history has had like this really weird relationship with what it chooses to apply a bunch of realism to and what it decides, you know, like gets a pass for fun.
Sure.
You know, just make everything lead towards fun. I don't care. You know,
I think in this game they chose to make the storyline serious, but they also, you can tell that they've also been impacted by Saints Row.
Yeah.
And so that there are moments of silliness interspersed.
That's weird to hear. Serious? Is it more serious than like Grand Theft Auto 4 pretended to be, or?
What do you mean pretended to be?
No, I mean like it's that everybody says this about this freaking game, but I'll say it. It starts out really promising with the story of an immigrant trying to build a new life, and then it turns into, you know, mafioso, hey, Bo, you know, kind of story. You know, like just tonally, how does it compare to 4? Because this is the first time I've heard the word serious used to describe 5.
So the crux of the storyline is the relationship between the three characters you play as.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a well-crafted story so far, from what I can tell. So that aspect of it is good. And I mean, that's essentially what the plot is. So, you know, like, so I mean, that is good. And that is it's a serious story. It's something I at least take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you'll have a mission where, you know, you do something completely silly and over the top and very much in the world of Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm.
I would still take the relationships between the characters or among the characters seriously.
So, right. so that's what I was about to ask is what's the that seriousness given? What's the silliest thing you've done so far in the game?
Well, I'll just say this: there's like things like male nudity in the game now, and it's, you know what I mean, where it's like just kind of unnecessary like male nudity in the same vein of how Saints Row had it, and it's funny, man. Like, I don't know. I think Monty Python cracked that code, you know, a few decades back, but
unexpected Wang.
Yeah, it's hilarious sometimes, man.
Yeah.
The
most funny thing about that is nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway. No, it's a good game, though. I spent all weekend playing it. I'll continue to play it. As soon as we're done talking, I'll eat food, and then I'll go play it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
How's the soundtrack? I've looked at it, but none of it sticks out.
Like, yeah.
I mean,
they don't have a hipster track anymore. At least I haven't found it yet. So, I'm lost.
It's too underground for you, man.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's right. Maybe it is too underground. Maybe I need to
You need a ham radio or a shortwave to get
it. Yeah. But I feel like it probably matches, you know, like West Coast music more. So they have like a classic, like, West Coast radio station where it's like 90s rap, essentially. So it's like Dre and Snoop Dogg and stuff.
That's
so,
what I would listen to the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely fits the tone of. Of at least like, so like the three characters, one of them's Franklin, and that's the guy who he's in a gang, I guess. His storyline is very similar to CJ's and the San Andreas.
Yeah.
So, or at least he seems to be the same sort of character. That actually kind of sounds racist now that I say that out loud, but I don't know. It's a very similar story. Cause he's fighting the ballers and like they live on, they don't live on Grove Street, but Grove Street is also in this one.
Right. Right.
So it does very much feel like a similar to San Andreas.
Yeah.
But he always listens to that radio station though.
It's kind of modern day.
Yeah, I think so. It's at least not dated enough to notice. So,
because like wasn't Vice City and stuff was pretty overtly like not modern day. Right?
Yeah, Vice City was 80s, and even San Andreas kind of felt like 90s, like early 90s.
It was like San Andreas was very specifically like early 90s. Like,
okay, then yeah.
Yeah,
this one I don't think. I mean, I think it feels present day. I don't see any reason that it would be dated.
Yeah,
but it might be. I don't know.
Neat. Yeah, I'm curious about it. I've had to eliminate it from my mind, just with how crazy things are.
Yeah, it's
Have I mentioned that I'm overwrought?
Everybody send some good vibes Cole's way.
Neat.
Hypnotoad. Have you been playing anything else, Ben?
Nope, that's it.
Cool. Let's see who else wants to go. Dance puppets.
I've bought technically a lot of games this week, but I've only really played one.
Ah, yeah, I want to hear about this. Pursuant to our conversation last week.
Yes, my new addiction.
Yep.
I got the Humble Indie Bundle, and I got Faster Than Light as a part of that, which is the roguelike spaceship game, which is freaking amazing. You start out with a fairly weak ship and some crew and a big wide universe that you got to get across, and you know, get stronger along the way, and everything is randomized. So every time you jump to a new location, which is how you progress through the game, you have no idea what's going to happen. After sinking about 10 hours into it, I'm still encountering new stuff. So that's cool that it's got kind of a really good depth of experiences. What I like is that they have this roguelike where, you know, everything is randomized, but they also, have an element of scarcity to it, and that you're being chased. And so, you know, in generalities, you're moving from the left side of the map to the right side. And every turn, you know, a portion of the map moving from left and right gets eaten up, quote unquote, by the people pursuing you. And so if you get caught by them, you have a big fight, and, you know, that's bad stuff happens, essentially. So it's randomized, and you will never have enough time to explore everything. Which is really cool, and it makes the universe feel really, really big. I don't know what to say about it other than that. I've really enjoyed playing around with the different strategies. You know, you can try getting a bunch of drones that fight for you. You can just really power up weapons. I tend to go the evasive route and have a ship with really high evasion, so I can dodge everything. You guys are my crew, by the way.
Yes.
So
how many times have we died?
Every time. No exceptions.
90% of the time you die every time.
You also die every time the other 10% of the time too.
Yeah. I mean, it's like relationships. Every one of them dies until one doesn't.
that's kind of deep and really depressing.
It's one of the few industries where you accept somebody with a 0% success rate.
Oh, man.
And my keys are always in the last place I look.
They're always in the next to last for me. I just go and see if there are any other keys, because those might be my spares.
Oh, man, I was really on a roll looking for keys here. I have a whole methodology set up. Yeah. Cole's like holding this index card going, well, fuck, I spent 15 minutes on nothing.
Cole, did you lay down a grid with string? Like, I have to have to check every sector. Putting a little cocktail sword on the carpet in each one. I searched that one. We're good.
Oh, yeah. You have to have the minesweeper flag.
Yeah.
I just like, I found my keys 3 hours ago, but since I've found $1.50 in spare change.
Eventually I'll break even on what my time is worth. That's the joke. It's worth nothing.
Oh, my gosh. What were we even talking about? Faster than light. Everyone dying. Yes. Yes.
You learned that spiders are horrible even in space, and you never want to have anything to do with them.
Oh, no. I've only encountered them once, and I went for it, specifically thought of you, and it turned out very well. So, hey.
Oh, well, at least in my version, every time I go after the spiders, I think Ben gets eaten.
But that's actually the really interesting thing, and I don't know if anyone knows what's going on under the hood there, but it seems like even within the random encounters, the results are randomized. So, like, you know, I've come across the same encounter different times, and I know for at least one of the encounter I've made the same choice twice and gotten a different result.
That's definitely the case.
Like, okay, so when you say encounter, you're not talking about fights, like just where it's a pirate and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, you run across a derelict freighter, you may be able to scavenge it, or you hear a distress call, you make a choice, and then that can either work out well or poorly for you.
Or like, you know, I think the specific one is like, you know, you're in a nebula, so there's like an electrical storm, and it's like, hey, do you kind of see a ship fading into the nebula that clearly doesn't want to be seen? Do you chase after it? And the first time I was like, yeah, chase after it. And it got away. And the second time through, it was like someone needed help, or I forget exactly what, but I'm guessing that, you know, cause my initial reaction to that was like, well, that's stupid if the results are randomized as well as the encounters, then I'm not really making any choices. Like if I'm as likely to get a positive result as a negative result, and that's just a coin flip every time, I'll go flip a coin. That's equally as fun.
Like most of the encounters, though, it's a matter of one has higher risk than the other, and you have an equal chance of with one of them, it's an equal chance of success or failure. And right. Then with the other, it's pretty much always safety. So when you get the distress signal, it's generally okay to ignore it. And mm-hmm. then it's just up to you if you decide that the potential reward is worth the potential risk, right?
And that's exactly it. Is like, am I in a healthy enough place right now that I can risk some resources or risk some damage?
Yeah.
In order for the potential of reward. And I've also realized that, depending on what weapons you have equipped and what crew you have, you'll unlock special options mm-hmm. That weren't there before. That way, then you kind of learn, okay, so maybe it's good for me to have a diverse crew. Or I like there's one encounter where if you have, there's an enemy ship you come upon that has like rock men like smeared across the hull, or like the hull is decorated with rockmen. It's like very clearly a ship that's antagonistic towards rockmen. Mm-hmm. And if you have a rockman in your crew, one of the options is just to put him on the video conferencing call, or whatever you call that, the hologram or whatever. And it serves no purpose other than to make the captain of the other ship flip out at you and like scream at you and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's delightful.
You're trolling.
Yeah, you're trolling him.
Trolling the space KKK.
Yeah, basically. So I'm playing on easy mode for right now, and I've gotten to the end boss twice. I'm in the middle of my second encounter right now as we're talking. Actually, I'm playing the game. I've got it saved, and that's a cool thing that there's no going back or reloading a save. It's all. I mean, that's a key feature of a roguelike, right? So. That's fun. Apart from just all the gameplay stuff, and Cole, you and I talked about this, I like the game because it's easy to kind of have going on in the background of whatever you're doing,
mm-hmm.
which there are very, very few games that aren't just straight up, turn-based strategy games that you can do that with. So this one's not really turn-based. It's kind of like an ATB system.
ATB.
But what is that? Active time bar?
Oh, okay.
Active time. Is it active time bar?
Active time battle.
Battle. That's right. Active time battle with active time bars.
Although bars are often in
yeah.
Yeah. Bar.
Sometimes you play them at a bar.
So yes. Sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes, well, the bar eats you.
Is this some kind of Asian thing?
What? you got to curse so much. God, it's been almost a month since I've seen that.
Too long.
Yeah, it doesn't fall off, you guys. But yeah, it's you play it in bursts. So whenever I play it, I ride the space bar, which is appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny. Wow. Because some people in different dialects pronounce bear bar, so I just pictured a space bear.
Well,
like Brad Neely's famous bearstronauts.
Can we be done with this joke?
Sorry.
No.
So have they ever said, is the game at all meant to be inspired by Firefly? Because that's what the entire game feels.
Most assuredly.
Yeah, the first ship looks like it.
That's true.
Or it looks like the
the Firefly.
The Serenity.
It is, right? A Firefly grass freighter.
Yeah.
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 Don't email me and say it's like a cruiser instead of a freighter or something. Like...
I guess I'll cancel that email then.
let me blot this the end of this quill that I have slaked with ink. Oh man. Roll up this.
But yeah, parchment. So that's good. I've been amazed at how much time I've put into it.
Yeah. What's your Steam clock say?
I think it's up around 11 hours now.
Nice. Wow. Less than a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do when you stay up until 2 a.m. in your bed playing the game.
Yeah. It's amazing how long you can play a game when you never stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you like it. It's always nice to have a recommendation land.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, if your computer can run it, I think I have a code for you. Do you want it?
I don't know.
I have zero
hope that my computer can play anything.
It's not resource intensive at all, though.
Okay.
I don't know. While somebody else is talking, I can pull up the system requirements, but it is ridiculously low stress.
Yeah, I'll look it up right now.
Yeah,
while we're talking.
Yeah, while we're talking, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah,
we don't need to focus on this.
is there anything else been playing, Dennis? Is there anything else you want to say about this game?
Nah, I think I covered. I mean, everyone has the preview now. Just go look at what's in the Humble Bundle, and that's like my next 3 months worth of commentary. So,
yep, and then also look at what comes out on PSN Plus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? That felt like a snipe or something. I totally hope that didn't read like a snipe.
No, and I totally actually agree with that though, because I think I said this was before PlayStation Plus came out, maybe shortly before when they announced it, and it was just becoming a thing. But I really like the idea of having someone curate a game library for me.
Yeah,
like I know I'm not going to be able to get to everything out there. I know that if I just kind of go for what's obvious, I'm going to miss out on a lot of good stuff. So I really like the idea of having some mechanism that's like, hey, you would probably like this. And even though that's not exactly what PlayStation Plus does, it serves that role in absence of something better.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of find the Humble Bundle to be the same thing, because it's like, hey, here's a pack of games that are all worth your time. And it's like, okay, I can pay for this one thing and know that there's a slate of experiences there that I will enjoy.
Like, would you subscribe to the Humble Bundle? Just be like, hey, I'll pay $10 a month just to have these games dropped somewhere, you know, once a month?
But yeah, with the exception that I would never be able to play through the games if it came out once
a month.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Well, I mean, I think they're coming out roughly at like once a month now.
Yeah, it's incredible. This is only the ninth one though, right?
But there are like interstitial bundles that they always put
out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, non-video game bundles.
That, and they've got like the Humble weekly sales, you know?
Oh, yeah. Can you subscribe? Like, is that actually a thing?
No, I'm just curious. I've heard that idea floated around like...
I would totally do that. I would absolutely do that. But yeah. I would never get through probably 90% of the games, but
yeah.
I would totally do that.
Yeah, see,
I would only subscribe if when the games dropped, they were actually dropped on someone.
Like a beat?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But there's a bunch. I mean, especially just with that SteamOS announcement and what that probably means, like this is gonna pay dividends. I think this massive game library that I've acquired will be, you know, because I do my best game playing in the living room. I can't really play a lot of games at my computer because I spend roughly 10 hours a day sitting at this computer staring at the screen, you know, and that's just for work, let alone the several hours a day also for basically what so, I mean is I'm probably gonna die soon from living a sedentary lifestyle. However,
come CrossFit, wait, come CrossFit.
Wait. So the translation is when the SteamOS comes out, I swear I'm going to complete my backlog. I'm really, really serious, guys.
Maybe, I don't know. Like a large portion of my backlog is PC stuff, most of it through Steam. And I tend to play more games in the living room than in the old office here.
Hmm.
You know?
I believe it, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is like just the idea of like, you know, right now I'm probably, you know, I'm not going to be inclined to load up my computer and play Mark of the Ninja. However, you know, if I'm sitting in my living room and I have 20 minutes to kill, you know, I'll just I'd probably pull it up just to play with my new toy. It seems neat. I don't know. It probably makes no sense, and I'll admit that. I'll completely own to it. However, yeah. No. Oh, wow. The bundle's almost over with, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up is you kind of buried the lead here. I didn't know this bundle existed until just now, but it looks excellent. But sadly, I cannot run like any of it.
No? So,
yeah, I don't have the video card for FTL or Fez or...
Wow, man.
Or what's the other one? Mark of the Ninja.
You don't even, need a... Wow. Okay.
I know. My computer is butt.
Kind of. I mean, I didn't want to be the one to say it, but...
No, I'll say it, dude. I'll own it.
Yeah.
Because I own it.
Yeah. But yeah.
But it can run Limbo.
Oh, that's right. You played Limbo on there. That's weird.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that seems incongruous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can play Bastion. I've played Bastion.
But you can't Whatever. Run FTL. I don't know. Let's talk about your... hey, David, how about you? What you been up to playing?
Two things, actually. First, someone randomly gifted me The Walking Dead.
That was me. I gifted you.
Yeah, someone who will remain... No. No, yeah.
I think I did it on the air. I deserve credit, damn it. No.
So Cole gifted me The Walking Dead. I haven't gotten real far in it. I just got to the farm and regained control. So that's still really early on, but I don't know. It seems like a really cool game. I kind of like the graphics in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of weird because I feel like... you know, the graphics themselves seem like they could almost be like last gen graphics, but the actual quality of the art is really good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I forget who it is. I always say his name wrong. I want to say Tony Moore, but he might be a actor who played James Bond. But whoever was the artist for the first trade of The Walking Dead, like the first couple of issues of the comic, they based all the character designs off of his art, and they kind of have these awesome, really expressive proportions to them. So like the facial expressions really, really sell.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't really thought of that, but now that you mention it, yeah, that's definitely the case. And also like kind of the interface, sort of the old school, you know, hotspot and, you know, kind of the fixed view thing. I'm not sure I like that particular aspect from a gameplay mechanic, but from like kind of an artistic mechanic, I feel like it's really cool. In terms of, you know, the degree to which like you kind of have a set view and, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The voice acting's really good. I really like the main character. A lot.
Lee.
Just, huh? Yes,
Lee.
Just some. A lot of the dialogue is just really good. I like some of the idle comments are really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So far, yeah. Storyline seems pretty good. I can't think. I haven't made any like earth-shattering decisions yet, other than the whole like not getting eaten thing, which I feel like was an important decision.
I think we all make that choice every day. I wake up, I look in the mirror, I set my jaw, and I say, "Cole, damn it, you're not going to be eaten today. Nobody's going to get you."
Right. So, I do have to say the one thing so far I don't like is the timed choices.
Yeah.
I like a lot what they're trying to do with that in terms of like making you actually, you know, make an organic decision as opposed to, you know, some real thought out thing. But the amount of time they give you, like I often don't even have enough time to read all the options.
Right. And it's a little bit tough. So you're playing it on computer because that's what I gave it to you on. I found it a little bit difficult to select the option that I wanted. So you can, I think you can press the buttons, like the numerical, you know, the
yeah,
one that,
one,
the,
two, three,
yeah.
et cetera.
But because there's not a number that's associated with it, I kind of don't trust myself to hit it right. You know, like I'll think like, okay, I'll think I'm hitting, you know, three, but actually I hit four, something like that, you know, ridiculous. So I try to select it with the mouse wheel. However, that doesn't work with like the precision that I would want it to. That's what ended up messing me up more. And I realized somebody listening to this who is competent at using their hands would probably be like, "That's ridiculous. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." You know, we all have our struggles, okay?
Yeah, I personally have not had that particular problem, but it's just I know. I feel like I understand the whole idea of like wanting it to be reactionary, but the problem is it's not reactionary. I basically have to read all the options, then decide which of the options is closest to what I actually want to do.
Yeah. I mean, when I played, I found that I got pretty good at like sussing out like the general order that things would go in. So kind of like in Mass Effect, where the really good thing is going to be at the upper left and the bad thing is going to be at the lower right or whatever. However that ends up working in there. General responses tend to be in roughly the same positions, except when you're trying to suss people out. But I find that those are not often timed.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. The only decision I've seen so far that seems particularly noteworthy is whether to leave in the day or the night.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. I haven't. Again, this probably goes to my particular personality, but I feel like I haven't been able to get a vibe on how realistic the game is going to be. And that kind of frustrates me with making decisions like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, are these like fairly realistic zombies or are these like that pixie fairy zombies?
I was going to interject with a comment, but
yeah. Wow, man.
Are these like the zombies that I've seen in real life or yeah
saying, you know, there's a big difference between like a rage zombie where it's basically has to follow all of the rules that a human being does, it, you know, it effectively is a human being, versus say like, you know, Resident Evil where the zombies are straight up magic.
Yeah. I think I would definitely put the zombies into the category of the second one.
Okay.
Really?
Well, because, like, for example, if it's a realistic setting, I would want to leave at night because, you know, they won't be able to see any better than I can, and I'm not a stupid zombie. On the other hand, if it's a magical setting, probably leaving during the day is a better call.
Because the night's scary.
Exactly.
They're just like hungry humans. They're not anything more than that.
Aren't we all just hungry for love?
There are specific rules to the way that things work, but I don't feel comfortable saying what they are because it might potentially be a spoiler. And I generally, I don't know. Just there are things about the way they work that are revealed over the course of any of it, the comic book, the TV show, and the game.
See, and that's reasonable. It frustrates me, and this is just straight up my idiosyncrasies, that I feel like if I was in a zombie apocalypse, the first thing I would do is find that out.
Run experiments on them?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, like, so if
for
just
example,
a finger of my hand,
my option would be hide in the treehouse the first night, step outside and see, hey, can the zombies see me? Do they have night vision? Do they seem more active during the night? Sorry.
I just want to know what makes Resident Evil zombies magical.
The fact that
things that come out of their head and then bite your head.
Those are
off.
Plagas. I'm talking about T-virus zombies.
As I understand it, they're basically immortal in the first couple games, correct?
It depends. If you're talking about the remake, you have to make sure that you destroy their head or burn them. Otherwise, they will suffer a secondary mutation and come back as a crimson head. Suit.
Right.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like ultimately any living thing would have to have a source of nutrition, and if you shoot it full of holes so that it's leaking its nutrient bits, it's going to be dead.
Hmm.
Not my nutrient bits.
No, my nutrients. It took me so long to get them.
Dude, nutrient bits is my favorite cereal.
I'm just imagining that as some sort of like future dystopian cereal. You know, your nutrient bits, dear. Anyways, The moral of the story is that David analyzes the zombie apocalypse in way more detail than is healthy.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, the rules affect the fiction, and we care about the fiction, right? Like, for instance, it bothers me that in the first three Resident Evils, they can't decide whether the virus is airborne or fluid-borne.
Yeah,
because generally they can't be both. However, yeah.
That actually, the first game I played, which this of course makes me an awful gamer, but was Resident Evil Outbreak, where it's, you know, my understanding is that's kind of the game that most overtly advocates the airborne theory, and it was not till like real recently that I realized or found out that like that wasn't overtly canon. And so, like, yeah. A lot of the other games didn't make sense to me because of that.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's, really, like I said, it affects the fiction, and the fiction affects us.
Yep.
Yeah. That's just funny. Magical. Magical.
Magical pixie zombies.
Played anything else there, David?
Yeah, I've continued to play Payday 2.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. I played several of the heist mission. I guess they're all heists, but the multiple day heists, and you know those are kind of, there's a whole bunch that are just like general like smash and grab, like you know, just real quick heists. So like run into this jewelry store, grab everything, and escape, or you know, this mall hasn't paid its protection money, run in and cause $50,000 worth of damage.
Go!
Exactly. And those are kind of fun, and I kind of like that they included, you know, it's not all just like Ocean's 11 stuff. Some of it's just like, you know, just running in and breaking things.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a strategy to it? Like, you know, can you kind of target high value items?
Yeah, like my this is not just me. This is actually a good strategy. But my first strategy is to run into the Apple store. They call it the Plum store, but the Apple store, because they keep a whole bunch of like, I don't know, like iPhones or something, on the walls on rack. If you place a, I've unlocked C4. If you place C4 on the wall and detonate it, it'll blow all of them off the wall at once, and that's like a big chunk
nice.
Of cash.
The way I'm picturing it is, do you guys remember the shows from the 90s where somebody had like a shopping cart and then they go running into a store and just put as much as they can in the shopping cart?
Yes.
I'm imagining that, but just breaking stuff instead.
To a significant degree, yes, actually.
Super sweep.
But there's also, like, snipers and stuff like that. But I've also tried, there's a series of 3-day heists. So, like, one of them I tried is called Rats, and basically, not that they're referencing anything, but one of your contacts has hired a guy from the local high school to cook meth for him.
Mm.
And you go and find that the rival gang has taken them out. So your operator guy is basically looks up a recipe for meth on the internet and is like reading you the recipe, and you're trying to cook the meth while you're under enemy fire.
Okay. Sounds like a Grand Theft Auto Vice City mission.
Yeah, and but like in this series, like you do that, and then the second day, your ultimate goal is to take out a rival cartel.
Mm-hmm.
So the second day, you trade the meth to some people that are willing to betray them for information on where the cartel is. In our case, we just then proceed to kill all of them and take our meth back because yeah.
Totally bunging, man. Get that meth.
And
I'm doing the hang loose sign.
Wow. And then the third day, you basically find they're in a bus escaping the city with a whole bunch of money. So you run onto the bus, kill everyone, then proceed to open up the money and find that it's rigged with C4. And in my case, I didn't disarm it fast enough, so the bus exploded. But I got away.
So, wait, what? Like, did you get in a refrigerator before it went off or something?
Yes. I did the old Schwarzenegger. Or, no, was that Schwarzenegger?
No, that was...
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Or...
Oh, that one, yes.
Girl from
yes.
Heavy Rain.
Yeah. So a lot of those are just a lot more fun. I did manage to completely stealth a heist, which I'm kind of proud of.
Was it designed that way, or did you just kind of have all the everything break your way?
Yeah, theoretically, at least all of the stealths, all of the heists can be completed without ever alerting the police. And it's very difficult. Usually what it is you basically try to do as much of the heist as possible before the police get involved, but eventually someone sees you or you accidentally get caught on camera or something happens. And you know, there's actually a lot of mechanics. So for example, like if you kill a guard, you then have to answer his, pager, Star Wars style, and convince them that, you know, nothing happened. Stuff like that.
Everything's fine here. How are you?
That's actually one of the lines. Like, there's a whole bunch of random lines ranging from, like, hey, can you send up a pizza, to actually that line.
Nice. that makes me happy.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's actually a fairly complex system. We managed to... We were robbing a jewelry store, and we managed to sneak through, take out one or two guards, answer the phone, and that resident psychopath, just killed off a couple of the civilians that otherwise would have been troublesome. And then we drove through the safes and ran away. So, fun game. The one thing, though, is I think I can now no longer criticize any other game for having a broken economy. This game, the money you need to, like, do stuff is just incredibly messed up.
You know, that kind of struck me in the original game too, for like, you know, the day I played it, was that everything seemed really, really, really expensive.
Yeah, see, the thing is, like, in a heist, you know, generally, if I do, like, a decent job, a heist will range from, like, usually from, like, $50,000 payout to, like, $100,000 if I'm doing, like, a maximum difficulty heist. And by comparison, like, I now have, like, skills that in order to unlock, like, a new skill will cost, like, $1 million. Similarly, the, you know, every time you attach a attachment, it costs, say, around $100,000. So, like, if I equip the, you know, the holographic sight and then decide to try the red dot sight, if I want to go back to the holographic sight, I have to pay again. So, like, I'm currently, you get one skill point per level and two every 10th, and I currently have, like, 13 unspent skill points just because I can't afford to spend them. So, it's rather messed up.
It almost feels like there's, like, a dormant pay-to-play system in there.
What I think it is, and I can respect this, even though it doesn't quite work, is what it does, and what I'm assuming it's meant to do, is make it so that actually getting money from the heist is important. Because, like, for example, with the Breaking Bad mission, you were required to advance. You have to cook 3 bags of meth. However, you can choose to cook up to 7. And you get more money paid out.
Right.
And so I think the point of it is to make it where, like, my goal in the game is, you know, to maximize my profit, which, you know, makes sense in if this was, you know, actually a heist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing. It just doesn't quite work. So, eh.
This game seems really interesting to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They put a lot of thought into it, despite the fact that to some degree it could be argued to boil down to just shoot everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it seems that they give you options.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Go, you know? Seconds to learn, a lifetime to master. Sure, or no, that's Othello.
Oh, man. Neat. Let us see here. Let us see here. Is there anybody left?
What about yourself?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You might want to ask.
Oh, wait. Ain't played shit. Want to button it up?
All right.
Drop the mic.
Boom. I'm making explosion hands.
Are those like jazz hands?
And yeah, so you know when you go and you take your hands and you do like a little like wavy like outwards, like you're miming an explosion.
Yep.
And then do you walk away from it without looking?
How could it?
Wouldn't punching someone be a lot closer to miming an explosion?
I think exploding would be, I don't even know. Let us see here. What have we got? Yeah, no, I haven't played anything. Can we button this up? Not that I want to end it, but I am very sleepy.
I'm waiting for Ben to respond.
Yeah.
I will not do this. Somebody else needs to answer.
You won't be party
to
this.
You're going to hold us hostage,
then.
Yeah. Can I? Okay. So before we button it up, I want to read an email that I got, David. I tried to forward it to you, but I didn't have your email address. This is from Alan, who wrote in via the contact form in response to a question that we asked last week. I want to read this. So he says, here's the ideal, the level fun pack, since we're sending out fun packs for Kickstarter backers for Watch Out for Fireballs. So number one, the official Kolross index card system. Defeat the forces of chaos with formatting and grouping. I assume that he means some, index cards and Bittner clip. The David Money Smith money clip. Unfortunately, this money clip loosens the closer it gets to the to Apple products and unclips completely when it touches an iOS device. Perfect for PC users. The Dennis Furia video game satchel. The satchel is great for carrying all of your video games or your friends' games. The bag also has a +2 to stealth when your friends are drunk.
I think we need to set some things straight, all right? This weekend, I settled some wrongs, Cole, and you need to tell the world about this, all right? I returned something to you that I have had for all too long.
You've had it for less time than Saints Row 3. Yeah, no, you returned my Dark Tower comics, the ones that I lent you. If I would have known that, I would have given you the more recent ones.
Yeah, so, you know, it's I think all our scores are settled.
No, they're not!
I'm really glad that we could iron that out.
You can't
and,
do this.
You've kind of been on my case, and I wanted to come through.
So I'm waiting for an apology now. So. Yeah.
Not that I'm angry, but you're beyond hope. the Ben Merkel Ender app. Just use this app anytime an occasion comes to a close and hear Ben say, yes, go ahead and end it. I guess so. I have become aware that this is a thing now. And more.
That would be the least effective way to end anything. Because it would just be really, I don't know, unsure of itself and questioning and pandering.
I've given you the authority to end this thing. Oh, and you besmirch it. And then finally, the level carpentry level. Stay on the bubble, even when you roam off the topic with the official The Level level.
See, I read that and I just had this image of yo dog, I heard you like levels, the level. So I made a level with the level so you can keep things level.
Oh man, our title can mean things.
Cole, since you call people dog, can you be the exhibit of this podcast?
Can I? I don't get it.
Exhibit. He calls people dog.
Does he? I figured that was just a thing that people call these. It's like, yo dog.
He's the only person.
What?
Just him and you.
Oh well, I'm in rare company.
No, and Randy Jackson.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it finally says, if the level swag pack never comes around, I guess I would settle for a t-shirt. Well, we may or may not be able to make that happen. Who knows? We'd probably have to do, like, pre-orders or some shit, but yeah.
Is it bad that actually, I think Dennis ended up forwarding this to me, but I then was speculating for a while about whether it would actually be possible to use some sort of RFID inside Apple products to make a money clip that... disables when
who wait. Here is the engineer
wait a minute, so disabling a money clip, does that mean that it can never open or it never closes?
See, I think it would close, because otherwise it'd make you it easier to spend money, right?
I guess, but huh, but like, well, how does he put it? I don't want to tear apart. It was a funny letter, thank you, Alan.
I think what it is, the money clip touches the Apple product and it's like, well, you're clearly blowing all your money anyway, and it just drops the money.
Yeah, like this.
That
is
true.
This doesn't matter to you.
That is generally how I feel.
Maybe it just drops the money because it's like, get away, money. Don't be near David. He's about to buy an Apple product.
Yeah.
Run away.
I was looking on Amazon, just like thinking, like, you know, like what does a money clip actually cost? As I do whenever an object is brought up, I decide to search it on Amazon to see how much it would cost me. And it turns out about $10, but that was after I corrected my search from monkey clip to money clip.
Wait, what'd you find for monkey clip?
A couple of keychains, like clip on keychains, an adorable pacifier. That's like a plush monkey with the pacifier, the binky on its mouth. So when your baby's sucking, it looks like he's kissing a little monkey. It's adorable. Yeah.
That seems like that's just teaching incredibly uncleanly habits.
Oh, yeah. A monkey will eat your face off.
Yeah, there's that chick that actually had a monkey eater face on.
Yeah, yeah, the deep cuts.
What?
Yeah, no, she had a pet chimpanzee. This was, I think, back in like 2010 or to like 2009, something like that. Pardon the expression, but the chimp went ape shit on her and like ripped her jaw off. Wow. And stuff. It was really, really. Don't laugh, come on. It ruined her.
Oh, this was serious.
She ended up getting like a face transplant, but she looked like a Silent Hill monster. It's awful.
No.
Like, no, I'm not. I'm just radio.
Spin that comment. Yes.
Radio is the theater of the mind. I'm trying to give people an accurate picture of what she looked like. Okay. You know, if I say, oh, she had extensive scarification, it looked like some of the grafts weren't great. But, you know, all said, the fact that there's no bone exposed may be a plus. You know, maybe the surgery was a success. That doesn't paint a picture. However, if I compare her to a monster from a video game, all of a sudden everybody is picturing that in their heads.
Oh, you're saying post-operation?
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking of all the, like, weird faceless nurses or whatever. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, well,
no,
I
she
kind of
looked like those. And see, now I feel bad. Now that I'm going into detail about it, I don't know.
I'm very sorry, lady, that you were hurt by a monkey.
Yeah.
If you are listening,
I think it got her ears. We're good. That's terrible. I don't know.
So now we've brought everyone down a couple notches.
Yeah, yeah. No,
this is like a really sad note to end the podcast
yeah,
on.
It is. if you're ready for it to end.
Did you say we were ending the podcast?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Sorry, guys. I can't make the call on this one. We're going to have
to. No, I can.
This is what happened. You're not decisive.
I can edit that. You said this is a sad note to end the podcast on. All I can do is like edit myself saying, hey, Ben, can we button it up and just have you say
in the podcast?
The credit.
Damn.
Wow, this is some sort of like crazy.
Damn
like,
you, Cole. Your editing magic.
I hold the cards.
You sorcerer, you.
Oh, that was a very short episode of The Level. Apologize for any faceless people I might have offended. I'm so sorry. Man, I now I feel like shit. Oh well.
I feel like that's a tagline for The Level. Is like, The Level, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
So there are some things you can do as you're hearing this. There's roughly 1 week left until the Portland Retro Games Expo. Going to be there in Portland, Oregon, with Gary Butterfield of Watch Out for Fireballs. Setting up a booth and doing a live show. On that Saturday, it's a good time. If you're in the area, come out. Let's see here. As for this show, you can like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Go to duckfeed.tv/thelevel and find us on iTunes. Let us know what you think. Go to the contacts. Send us any questions you want us to answer in a multiplayer section. It's all good. Whatever comes to your mind, we're here. We're here for you. Ratings, reviews on iTunes. Go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar. Buy your Amazon stuff through the link there, and that helps support the network and hosting costs and things like that. Other than that, let's do outros and Twitters. I am Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I am Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I'm David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Cool. So until next time, I want to thank you so much for listening and also ask you, isn't it weird that even though Ben doesn't want to end things, he always insists on going last? Good night.
Ben, you missed some prime Oktoberfesting over the weekend.
Dude, I saw so many people post about it. I was super jealous. George Takei being the grandmaster or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally jealous.
We need to get you back in Cincinnati.
He's always been grandmaster.
Has he? I remember 1 year was like mini me.
Wait, we had Vern Troyer as the grandmaster of Oktoberfest?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Now you're just telling tall tales.